Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Reminder, we are doing Crab Cake Row and a cup of Super Bowl for our friends at the Maryland Food Bank beginning on February 5th. All the details now up at Baltimore Positive. Big appreciation to our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as Window Nation and Jiffy Lube for making things happen. I don't have a lot of time with this guy. He's a man in demand. He flies around. He writes great stories about the people who play the games of football. I've known him for three decades. We were colleagues together a quarter of a century ago out in Northbrook, Illinois, when I was syndicated on Sporting News Radio and before that, 101 Sports. Dan Pompey is still doing it as well as anybody's ever done it. Man, players give you access and you sit down. I shouldn't say, I just had Joe Flacco on a few minutes ago, but there is something about the things I learned from you and people around you that when you come in to do a story on a Justin Madubuike or at any point, whether it's Eric Weddle or Steve Smith, you've written so many stories just about Raven players, but you are the guy that comes in and tries to get to know these players. And all these years later, it's still wonderful to know you. And I'm appreciative you making some time here as the Ravens are on the cusp of doing the big thing here, Dan Pompey.
Absolutely. It was good to be with you, Nestor. And I appreciate very much the kind words. I've been very blessed in my career to be able to know a lot of good people, including some of the people at the Ravens and yourself, and always like coming to Baltimore to do stories. Seems like they've always got so many good stories, and they've got a lot more good stories right now. You know, as you said, they're marching towards the potential Super Bowl, and a really interesting team from top to bottom. From they've got so many potential award winners on that team, from the general manager to the head coach to, Lamar and on and on. I mean, they're really a fascinating team.
Well, you've been watching this from the beginning, back in the days when you and Baldwin would get together and laugh at our little purple Barney uniforms, and we were cute. We had Ted as the coach and that little linebacker that nobody wanted, and maybe one day we're going to do so. Boy, I tell you what, 25 years later, after meeting you when the Ravens were literally that, they were the 4-12 Ravens of that time, 97, 98, 99. You were out there flipping around with the Bears, who are still trying to figure it out all these years later, but the Ravens have figured it out, right? With when it comes to coaching, when it comes to personnel, and we can talk about all the players and Lamar and their greatness and the individual players. But there's a thing that's going on with picking football players and this zigzag thing that Eric has picked up from the baseball side of his analytics. And, I always say he's the reason Mike Elias is the Orioles general manager. Not a lot of folks know that, but I know that to be factual, that he has been in on the science of football and picking football players and this system that they've put together and identifying Roquan Smith in the middle of the season on a trading deadline to give him a big contract, to have this quarterback that nobody else wanted again last year. They just do things differently here, and they're being richly rewarded for that right now.
Yeah, I don't think any organization in the National Football League does it better than the Baltimore Ravens in terms of, player procurement, identifying coaches, replacing people, figuring out strategies that enhance players, player development. I mean, there are so many things that I think that they're really ahead of the curve on. Obviously, a lot of that began with Ozzie Newsome, and he still has a footprint on this organization, everything they do. And then Eric, has really just been an extension of Ozzie. He got my vote for Executive of the Year. And, I think he's done, and there's a lot of good competition, don't get me wrong. But I think what he's done, it really was outstanding. And then, you look at Harbaugh and the coaches he's had, the vision that he had for Lamar Jackson that really no one else had, let's face it. You look at, as you said, they make acquisitions. Even I came in the offseason to destroy an Odell Beckham. And they paid a lot of money for Odell Beckham. And a lot of people thought that was crazy. You look at this production, you might say, well, is he really worth the amount of money that the Ravens invested in him this season in terms of yards and catches and touchdowns? And, if you just looked at those things, you probably would say no. But their idea in signing him was that this was a guy who could lift our team, lift our offense, provide leadership, give the young guys something to model themselves after. And I think all of that has been true. So, they look at things a little bit differently from a lot of organizations. And I think it works for them for a lot of reasons. And I think a lot of other teams would be smart to look at how they do things and copy them.
Well, they had a first-round draft pick in a small wide receiver in Hollywood Brown that they deal off and get a pick back. They wound up using that pick on a center and a safety. They picked a safety and a center in the first round, which, you know, all the stat sheets would say, yeah, that might not be the best use of your first-round capital, especially if you're not a lottery team and you're always good enough to be picking at 14 or 18 or 24 or whatever it would be. And yet these players that they've identified, and even to your point, and I'll let you speak about Matt Ibike. I mean, they threw me out of there 3 or 4 years ago, Dan, so I don't get to talk to these players. I don't get to know them. I see their growth on Sunday afternoon and what Luke reports out of the locker room. But, you know, I've been doing this a long time, 4 decades. I miss that part of it. What do you learn from a Matt Ibike? Because labels that stick to young players, they fight against that forever. I had Flacco on an hour ago. He's still fighting against whatever label was put on him years ago, aside from Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, well, I could tell you, before the draft, I talked to some scouts who said they thought he had a first-round talent ability. And then he ended up falling, obviously, in the draft. Ravens get him for a bargain price. One of the reasons he fell was because at A&M, you know, the coaching staff changed hands. They went from Kevin Sumlin to Jimbo Fisher. And he didn't really fit into the new staff very well, and it didn't integrate. They didn't really believe in him, invest in him. I think it's such a great example of what the Ravens did. They believed in him. They bought into him. They embraced him. And they subsequently brought out the best in him. And there's a lot to bring out, because such a gifted young man, and such a, I think, a really good human being too, who's been very popular in the locker room, very popular really in the whole building, one of the most popular people in there. And, you know, this season he really broke out, as you know, led all defensive tackles in the NFL in sacks. And now he's about to get a huge payday, or, unless the Ravens end up putting a tag on him, which obviously is very possible as well. But I don't think they're going to let him go, and nor should they.
Well, Dan Pompey is here. He came in. He flies in and does stories. The Ravens are so compelling all the way around, right? I mean, just let's start with Lamar and Roquan and their leadership. And then you just go through all the webs and spokes of all their Mark Andrews and all these players. I think when it's all assembled, and I've had a lot of Super Bowl 35 people on this week talking about that team and the bullies and ESPN. And I mean, Shannon Sharp and what his life's become, and Ray Lewis and all of these special players. There really is some pedigree here to look around this locker room and see guys that are at the beginning, whether it's a Kyle Hamilton, a Zay Flowers, in the middle of doing something special, Lamar Jackson, even Marlon Humphrey if he gets back on the field, some of these guys that have had disappointments. But then there's the Kyle Van Noys and the Jadeveon Clowneys, and to your point, OBJ, other guys that have been decorated in other places, but they've identified ways to bring in veteran talent. And there have been so many times you've been here interviewing a Weddle or a Steve Smith, guys you know through the league because you cover the league better than anybody, Dan. But they import leadership here when they import Kevin Zeitler, Morgan Moses. I mean, they've brought in these other guys that have been a piece somewhere else but can be a leadership piece here.
Great point. You know, I don't think that they necessarily see a team as just a compilation of talent. You know, they see different pieces that fit together and can enhance the other pieces. And they've been really one of the best at finding value in players who are, you know, allegedly at the end or over the hill or whatever you want to call them, and bringing out the best in those players. And, you know, that's even a part of the Matt Ibike story, because early in his career, he was helped along by Calais Campbell, by Justin Houston, you know, other veterans they brought in. But I think finally they got to a point where they said, you know what, it's okay if we let these guys go, because Matt Ibike is ready to step up and kind of become a, you know, climb the hierarchy, if you will, a little bit on the team and get more responsibility. Not only in terms of what he can provide as a leader, but also primarily what he could provide on the field as a player. So whereas in the past he was doing some of the dirty work that would maybe help free up some of those other guys, this year the other players are doing the dirty work that help free him up a lot of the times. And it's resulted in him getting to the quarterback, making tackles for losses, and making big plays.
Dan, you expect them to win the Super Bowl?
I think they've got a really good chance. You know, I guess I'm a little bit reticent at this point to make a pick, but I think to me that they are as talented as any team. You know, if you put a gun to my head, I'll say, yeah, I'll pick the Ravens. But I guess I want to hold off to just see how this week goes and who they're playing and all that kind of thing. But I think them and the 49ers are the two best teams. You know, nothing against those other two teams who are really outstanding in many ways. And, you know, obviously a team with Mahomes, you never want to discount. But I think the Ravens, you know, you look at all aspects of what they can do, how they can beat you. And really then you look at kind of what their vulnerabilities are and you say, you know, they're pretty much the complete package, probably more so than any of the other remaining teams.
Well, there's going to be a cap issue here, right? There's going to be come hell to pay to have all these good football players. And more than that, and I didn't even talk to Coach Billick about this, and I probably should, where, you know, they're bringing a U-Haul into the back of the complex you were in last week and pulling coaches out, because it really does feel like this is short time for this group to be together. Whether Matt Ibike gets paid or gets a tag put on him, they can't keep everybody. I mean, this is a very special group of players, and they're not. There's not going to be enough money to go around. And I had Flacco on, and we all know what happened after he gets paid. That this does feel like a window for them, and to only have to beat Houston the way they did, and only see Kansas City here. They've really got an incredible path and a big, big opportunity here that I think a lot of folks here hope is not lost, because this isn't like some big window for them. It is maybe for Lamar, and you feel that way about some players in the organization, but this isn't for long because of the talent they have.
No, they will lose some players in the offseason, some really good players. But that's been another thing that they've been really good about traditionally over the years, is letting certain guys go as free agents, getting those comp picks, and reloading, restocking, and finding a way to get better. Maybe not exactly the same, but getting better in other areas, or you know, finding a way to remain competitive. There aren't many teams that have been as consistently competitive as the Ravens. And, you know, that's included some fluctuations in talent and player losses and all that kind of thing. So, you know, I kind of have faith in Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh and what they can do to kind of keep everything going in the right direction, even if they do end up losing some key pieces. I mean, you know, what Harbaugh did this offseason with the offensive coordinator was really interesting, because there was a time not long ago when everyone thought that Greg Roman was the reason that they were winning games and they were being so successful offensively. And then obviously he thought this year that he could do better with Todd Monken, and sure enough, he could. So, you know, credit to those leaders and what they do, how they think. And it's a great testament to their ability to continue to stay on top when so many go up and down in that league.
Well, Mahomes on the road scares me, because he had that fire in his eye in Buffalo. Like, this is the thing I haven't done, because he's done everything else. He just doesn't win road games because they don't play road games. So we are a little concerned about him here this week. I will miss you at the Super Bowl, but we are doing a cup of Super Bowl and the Crab Cake Row for our friends at the Maryland Food Bank. It's always good to visit with you. I appreciate your time. I love, you know, when you're in here doing Ravens pieces, it means the Ravens are doing well. You're one of those guys always sniffing out the winners and telling the good stories in the league. And when you come to town, it means good things are happening out there usually, right?
It does. And, you know, usually good things are happening with the Ravens. It's good to be there. And it's always, like I said, it's one of my favorite places to go.
Hey, dude, crab cake with your name on it over at Pappas whenever you want, brother. Come on out. Let's go, man. I'm wearing my Pappas shirt. Dan Pompeo, we'll be at Pappas on Friday, the 9th of February, doing Crab Cake Row. We have football all week. Luke Jones is out in Owings Mills. We have a litany of superstars. Joe Flacco, Brian Billick, Marvin Lewis, Brandon Stokely. I'm losing track of all the people we've had this week. But more and more coming on. Peter King's coming on a little later today as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore. More positive.